This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show with another 60 minutes of old-time radio, beginning with a request. Chris emailed, wanted to hear an episode from Suspense called The Wreck of the Old 97. We'll hear that first. That one first aired March 17th, 1952. And we'll hear Incredible But True and the Whereabouts of Mr. Wadham. We'll finish off with Have Gun, Will Travel and Hanging Cross, an episode from December 21st, 1958.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers bring you Mr. Frank Lovejoy in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, you will take a trip on a train, a journey exact in time and place, during which Autolite will recreate an historical puzzle by dramatizing with story and song The Wreck of the Old 97. Tonight's star, Mr. Frank Lovejoy.
Hello, Harlow.
Hi, Mr. McSorley. Hey, you'd better be starting for the St. Patrick's Day parade.
I can't get started, Harlow. My car battery's dry as an Irishman's wit.
Why, you ought to have an Autolite Stay Full battery.
A battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use?
Tis one and the same. The dependable battery that will start you swift and sweet as a Colleen smile. And the Autolite Stay Full gives longer life, as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards.
Well, where do we get an Autolite Stay Full?
From your Autolite battery dealer. He services all makes of batteries, and if a replacement is needed, he has an Autolite Stay Full battery for your car. So, friends, just call Western Union by number.
And ask for me, Operator 25. I'll tell you where you can get an Autolite Stay Full.
The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. Remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, with The Wreck of the Old 97 and the performance of Mr. Frank Lovejoy, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
Safety measures like we have. Did they, Joe?
No, I don't believe so. Of course, the worst wreck I ever heard of was told me by my dad when I was a kid. The fast mail was a train. The Southern Railway. The line, you know, same as we're on now. You probably heard about it. The wreck of the old 97.
Casey Jones was the engineer on that, wasn't he?
No. Casey Jones had the cannonball.
Oh.
Joseph A. Brody had the old 97. Matter of fact, that was named for him. Funny thing.
What?
No, it's nothing.
What?
We weren't related to the Joe Brody I'm talking about. We just happen to have the same name.
Hey, where are we?
Well, it's almost 6:30. We're coming into Monroe. 15-minute stopover to change crews. Then Lynchburg and Danville. Arrived Danville at 8:25. Mm. All 97. Never made it.
What did you start to say before? Funny thing what?
Oh, yeah. A story my dad used to tell about the 97. Carried a crew of three, was wrecked, as you know. They found five bodies in the wreckage.
What?
Yeah, found two more bodies in the wreck than was supposed to be on the train.
Well, how'd that happen?
A funny story. Strange, I mean.
Yeah? Well, tell us.
Okay. I told you I was named for the engineer on the old 97, didn't I, Joe Brody? Well, this is where he picked up the train, right here in Monroe, Virginia. Although it used to go all the way to Spencer. Train started further north from Washington Station. The day I'm talking about was a Sunday, September 27th, 1903. And here's what happened.
On a cold, frosty morning in the month of September, when the clouds were hanging low, 97 pulled out from the Washington station like an arrow shot from a bow.
Morning, Joe.
Morning, Mr. Elkins.
Yeah, seems we got a little trouble up the line.
What's the matter?
She ain't running on time.
How late is she?
40 minutes at Rapidan.
Well, that's bad.
Joe, it's terrible. Old 97's never run a minute late since she went into service.
Don't you worry, Mr. Elkins. She won't be late on our division. I'll get into Danville on time. Kind of man he was, the Joe Brody I was named for. He was a proud man and the best engineer on the line, and he loved old 97. It was Joe who'd driven her down from the World's Fair at Chicago when she was on exhibit as the newest, most powerful engine in the world. And it was Joe who'd driven her over the Blue Ridge Mountains from Monroe to Danville ever since. The old 97 was Joe's baby. And in Danville that morning, his wife was expecting a real baby. A better than usual reason for getting to Danville that day. There was another man on that train who wanted real bad to get to Danville on time. Big Tom Jeter, the fireman.
Morning, Mr. Brody. Morning, Mr. Elkins.
Morning, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
I hear she's late.
40 minutes at Rapidan.
Well, today my mammy and pappy's been married 50 years. Their golden anniversary. I figured to get in on time today.
We will, Tom.
Whole family's gonna meet me at the station. Big greeting for the youngest child. Fireman for Mr. Brody.
We'll get there in time if you keep that fire going this morning.
I will, Mr. Brody.
Oh, here, Joe. I'll get your orders ready.
Saying, Joe, you're way behind time. This is not 38, but it's old 97. You must put her in Danville on time.
So there they were, the engineer and the fireman, each one with a special reason for wanting to get to Danville on time. And there was the third member of the crew, old Mr. Clovis, the clerk in the mail car. He had his reason, too.
Oh. Morning, Mr. Clovis.
Morning, Mr. Elkins. Morning, Joe.
Morning, Mr. Clovis.
How's she running?
Late.
Late, huh?
Too bad. She had to be late, especially today, Mr. Clovis.
Oh, say, I'd forgotten. You're retiring today, aren't you, sir?
Yes, this is my last run.
Well, I'll try to make up the time for you, Mr. Clovis. Can't end 30 years of railroading behind schedule.
I don't care so much myself, but I believe some of the gentlemen from the division office were going to meet the train in Danville. I believe there was to be a ceremony.
I know dang well there is. They're going to give you the prettiest gold hunting case watch in the Blue Ridge Mountains, all engraved. I saw it myself last week.
Well, that's very nice, but quite unnecessary.
How's it feel to retire, Mr. Clovis?
It feels fine, Joe. I'll step down to the platform, and from that moment, I'll have nothing to do but die.
Well, you can live, can't you, Mr. Clovis?
Then for what? This is my life. What time is it?
Hey, Mr. Elkins, did you hear the news?
Oh, what news?
Hey, them two fellas that had up in the jailhouse, them two held up the bank over in Amherst to kill the teller.
What about them?
They broke out.
When?
Less than an hour ago. They split the turnkey skull open, walked out of the jailhouse big as a breeze. The sheriff's getting a posse together.
For what for?
For figures they're headed for the hills, going to track them down with hounds.
If they're headed for the hills, they're crazy.
Why, Mr. Brody?
Well, if I was trying to make a break for it, I wouldn't take any chances being tracked by bloodhounds.
What would you do, Joe?
I'd head for the railway, hop the first train that came through. Now, across the tracks from the station agent's office and right near the water tower was a tool shack. And at that very moment they were talking about, these two killers were hiding there. Or at least that's the way I was told the story.
do, Clint. I'm in Monroe, Virginia. A town with 5 churches, 15 saloons, and a jailhouse. What are we going to do? You think a posse couldn't track us down if we took to the hills?
We ain't going to take to the hills, honey boy. We're going to take the old 97 right straight to Danville. At Danville, we got a man waiting for us. He could put guns in our hands and tell us where to use them. Honey boy, when we get on that old 97, we don't have to worry about a thing.
Clint, you suppose you hit that turnkey too hard?
I hit him hard enough to knock him out.
You suppose you hit him hard enough to kill him?
What's the difference? Killed a man yesterday. We might as well kill another one today.
We didn't kill that teller, Clint. You did.
Listen, honey boy. Makes no difference who pulled the trigger. Understand me? No difference.
Sure, Clint, sure.
Here she comes. Come on, let's get out of here and wait for her.
They'll see us, Clint.
Nobody's gonna see us. They're all watching the train.
Pete's so late.
All right, Joe.
See you Tuesday, Mr. Elkins.
All right, Joe. Have a good trip.
Pretty, isn't she?
Beautiful. Get to Danville and be presented with a gold watch.
What?
Here comes Pete.
Wait, hey, Pete.
Hi, Joe.
Mr. Clovis?
Hello, Pete.
What's the delay?
Washout south of Rapidan. A section gang made up completely of numbskulls.
Wouldn't let you through?
No. Section boss was afraid the ballast wouldn't hold. Why, he'd had 6 hours to repair the track before we come along. Dang fool.
They come that way sometimes.
Sorry to hand it over to you like this, Joe. Don't see how you can make up the time.
I'll do my best, Pete, and still keep her on the rails.
Joe! Hey, Joe!
Yeah, Mr. Elkins?
Message for you from the station master at Danville.
Yeah, excuse me, Pete. What's it say, Mr. Elkins?
It says, tell Joe Brody he'd better get 97 into Danville ahead of schedule if he wants to be here to meet the stork who is coming in on time. Dr. Glenn Denning is on his way out to Mrs. Brody now.
Well, congratulations, Joe.
It's happening and I'm not there. I promised Leland no matter what, I'd be there.
Well, you can't help it, Joe. Well, anyway, sometimes these things take more time than you'd think. You'll probably get there on time.
Not probably, Mr. Elkins. I will get there on time.
Come on, Mr. Clovis, let's roll.
All righty, Joe.
You set, Big Tom?
Set, Mr. Brody.
Come on, then, let's go.
All right, Joe.
Got the time?
11:45. We're an hour late. Excuse me.
Come on, let's go.
Wait, let her get started. No one's paying attention to us.
There she goes. Come on, Clint. Come on, come on.
Give me a hand.
There. Grab the rung. Got it?
Got it.
Watch old 97. Autolite, Tonight is bringing you Mr. Frank Lovejoy in The Wreck of the Old 97. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Ah, you've changed your tune, eh, Mr. McSorley?
Ah, it is the Autolite Stayful battery that did it, Harlow. Now I just drop me foot lightly on the starter and...
Well, that's an Autolite Stayful start all right, Mr. McSorley. And you know, the Autolite Stayful battery is protected by fiberglass retaining mats to reduce shedding and flaking and give longer life, as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards.
And the Autolite Stayful needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
So, friends, visit your Autolite battery dealer, the man who services all makes of batteries. To quickly learn his location, just call Western Union by number...
And ask for me, Operator 25. I'll gladly tell you where you can get an Autolite Stayful, the battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Frank Lovejoy in Elliot Lewis's production of The Wreck of the Old 97, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia, saying, Joe, you're way behind time. This is not 38, but old 97. You must put her in Danville on time.
Well, there they were. 5 men on old 97 when she pulled out of Monroe. The engineer and the fireman and the mail car clerk who were supposed to be there, and the 2 escaped killers who didn't appear on the manifest, and each and every one of them with an urgent need to make up that lost time.
Four on the coal, Big Tom. Four on the run.
I'm shoveling as fast as I can, Mr. Brody.
Give me all you got until we cross White Oak Mountain. And you can stand back and watch 97 roll.
I'm giving it to you, Mr. Brody.
Lynchburg down a 3% grade, ending with a curve and a sign, a big sign that said, Slow Speed Trestle. Right ahead of that, the Stillhouse Trestle over Cherry Stone Creek. The run from Monroe to Spencer normally took 4 hours and 15 minutes, or it did. And that day, they had to pick up an hour. And that's a lot of time to catch up on.
Joe Brody turned to his old fireman, said, shovel on more coal. For when we hit that old white mountain, you can see.
Get me into Danville in time for the exercise. 30 years today. It's a long time. Almost all of the time, there is. And after the night, when the gentlemen say the kind things and smile and shake my hand, what? Tomorrow there'll be no train to climb aboard. Tomorrow there'll be nothing but the slippers and the pipe and the fire. Not as a reward after a day's run, but for what's left of my life. Sleep late every morning. Go fishing every day. Who wants pleasure all the time? Never to ride old 97 again. Never to have a job to do. Never to be needed. They call it retirement. I think it's death. I wish we'd never get to Danville.
Makes some sense. Here's what must have happened. Now remember, the two killers were hanging on right behind the locomotive.
Thank you. never speak harsh words to your true and loving husband. He may leave you and never return.
Now, the wrecking crew got there that night, came down from Lynchburg, just like we're doing. They found the old 97, her nose buried in the mud bank.
None of them got there to Danville.
Yeah, I often wondered about the station that night. Strange group of people waiting. The committee from the railroad with Mr. Clovis Gold Watch. Big Tom's family to greet their youngest son. And a carriage waiting to take Joe Brody to the hospital to see his new baby, which I understand was a little girl. And maybe, off in a corner, a few men with guns waiting for the killers.
And that's what happened, huh?
Well, that's what my dad used to tell me.
What time is it?
It's 8:20. We'll have breakfast in Danville. Oh, there you are. See, down there? That's Cherrystone Creek. See that old mud bank? That's where Joe Brody wrecked the old 97.
On a cool, frosty morning in the month of September.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite, tonight's star, Mr. Frank Lovejoy. This is Harlow Wilcox speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. And during these early months of 52, the Autolite family joins in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is made up of the nearly 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and in still other Autolite plants in many foreign countries. It also includes more than 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite, as well as 96,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our Autolite family will salute Nash Motors on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense on television so that you'll be sure to see this program. And remember, be with us next week for another thrilling Autolite Suspense program on radio.
The supernatural is not selective. A scientist working in his laboratory, a housewife bent over her ironing board, all these and many others have, at one time or another, been the central figures in mysterious events. And bewildering things have even been known to happen to a young man hurrying to keep a date with his best girl.
Leonard Wadham, a resident of Walworth, South London, was a respectable young man of regular habits. He was, like most young men of his age, in love. And on the evening of September 27th, he had called the object of his affection on the telephone to confirm an appointment.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in front of St. Benedict's Cathedral. Don't be late. How could I be late when I'm meeting you, Ellen? I'll be there at 9 o'clock sharp.
It was only a 15-minute walk from his home to St. Benedict's Cathedral. But just to be on the safe side, he started out at 8:30. When he was still several blocks away from the meeting place, he chanced to glance up, and he noticed the clock in the cathedral spire.
Not quite 8:45. I've only got a couple of more minutes to go. She's the one who's going to keep me waiting. Oh, I say now. What's happening? What's happening to me anyhow?
On this same evening, near the village of Dunstable, not far from London, Patrolman Gibbons of the Dunstable Police Force was covering his beat.
Hello. What's this? Same bloke standing right in the middle of the highway. Looks like he don't even know where he is. Intoxicated, I'll bet he's sure. Hey, you there! What are you doing in the middle of a thoroughfare?
Well, I don't exactly know. That is, I...
You want to get hit or something?
No, but officer, would you mind telling me where I am?
I can tell you where you ought to be, home in bed. In your condition.
My condition? You don't think I'm drunk, officer. I haven't had a drop.
And what is the matter with you?
I don't know. Something happened to me. Something strange and mysterious like. The landscape, it blotted out. The street and the cathedral and everything.
What street? What cathedral?
St. Benedict's on South Waterbury.
What? That's in London, ain't it?
Aye. That's where I was.
Well, you're not there now. You're in Dunstable.
Dunstable? Why, that's 30 miles from London. But how did I get here? I don't remember coming here at all.
Oh, it sounds like amnesia to me.
Aye, that must be it. But how am I going to explain it to Ellen? I was to meet her at 9 o'clock sharp, and here I am, 30 miles away, and it must be midnight.
And what makes you think it's midnight?
Well, it was just 17 minutes to nine when I looked at the clock on St. Benedict's.
Wait a minute now. Take a look at this watch.
Blimey. It's only 10 minutes to nine.
It is not recorded whether Leonard Bottom was ever able to persuade Ellen of the truth of his story. If she was highly skeptical, it is not to be wondered at, for few women would be likely to believe that a man could be transported, without his knowledge, 30 miles in less than 7 minutes. And yet, if we accept the evidence that was conclusive enough to convince both the Dunstable police and the great London newspaper, those are the facts. Facts. Incredible, but true.
In all my life, I've only seen a dozen real killers. But I've seen 10,000 people who will sit back and let murder happen. Which is the greater evil?
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel. Headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Paladin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Stanford. Pardon me.
Yes?
You dropped these by the desk.
Oh, thank you very much.
The glove that holds a lady's hand holds a world of prettiness.
Really?
Yes. My name is...
I'm not interested in your name. I don't wish to know it. I don't wish to know you. And if I did, this would not be the day, the hour, nor the place.
I quite understand.
Then if you'll kindly release my hand.
Oh, of course.
Again, thank you very much.
Oh, pretty lady, not too impressed with Mr. Paladin.
We are all entitled to mistakes, hey boy.
Oh, yes, but how often?
Seldom the time, the place, and the loved one all together.
And husband make three. Telegram come for you.
Oh.
Answer?
Yes. Wire back. Have gun. We'll travel.
Crime, delinquency, threats of war. These are the subjects that dominate our news headlines these days. Not very pleasant subjects, are they? You may say that somebody ought to do something about cutting down on crime and delinquency and in promoting peace among nations, but that there's nothing you personally can do about it. That's where you're wrong. You can wage your own fight against crime and delinquency in your own family by taking the family to the church or synagogue of your faith this week. The inspiration and guidance you and they will receive from spiritual contact will strengthen moral background and faith. Regular attendance at religious services will help your family to work out its own problems and give them comfort in facing the tensions of our present-day life. Worshipping together brings your family closer together, too. and supporting your own religious institution provides funds to help those individuals and families who, unlike you, are unable to help themselves. Find the strength for your life. Worship together this week.
In a way, I was sorry to leave San Francisco just as Christmas was coming on. The shop windows, already frosted, were filled with all those wonderful surprises which seemed to appear only at the Christmas season. And there was an excitement in the eyes of passers-by, young and old alike. In the air, there was the smell of cookies and cakes and candies. It was a good time to be in San Francisco. And yet the telegram from Colorado Territory left me little choice. It was a long trip and a cold one. As I got closer to my destination, I heard more about the man named Beecher, the man who had hired me. And I didn't like what I heard. Matt Beecher was a hard man, and he ran his cattle empire with an iron fist. It was the day before Christmas when I arrived at the Beecher Ranch.
You got business here, cowboy?
I was told I'd find Matthew Beecher here.
You found him. I pay you $25 a month if I like your work. This is my foreman, Tater. He'll sign you on.
Howdy.
No, I didn't come here to hire on as a hand, Mr. Beecher.
No? What did you come for, then?
My name is Paladin. You may remember this.
Have gun, will travel. So?
Well, you sent me a wire asking my help, something about your boy. As I understand it, he was carried off during the Sioux War 6 years ago.
Well, you're too late, mister. I got him back.
Just a few days ago, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, well, I'm glad everything worked out.
It has. Tater, ride him out to the stage trail. He's going to start back now.
And Mr. Beecher, it's a long trip from San Francisco. I'll take travel expenses for my trouble.
You'll get nothing. Put him off the ranch, Tater.
Mr. Beecher?
What?
Does the boy speak any English?
No, he don't. Why?
You speak any Indian dialect?
No.
Well, don't you want to talk to your son?
You speak the Pawnee dialect?
Some.
All right, Tater. Take him up to the main house. We'll talk about them expenses later.
Yes, sir. Come on, Mr. Paladin. Maybe I better set you straight about something.
What's that?
Well, we ain't too sure the boy is Matt Beecher's son.
Well, he seems sure enough.
Yeah, well, Matt's sure of everything. He found a boy riding off from a small band of Pawnees 3-4 days ago. Matt just says, "That's my boy," and takes him.
Huh. What do you think, Tater?
Well, he looks Indian to me. Of course, Robbie was only two when the Indians took him. That was when they killed Mrs. Beecher, too. And that nearly finished Matt off when they killed his wife.
Tater, is that you?
Yep. Mr. Paladin, this here's my wife, Morty.
Morty?
Mr. Paladin.
How's the boy today, Morty?
Same as yesterday and the day before.
Is he sick?
Well, not hardly. It's just we got to keep an eye on him every minute or he'll squirt away. Boy! Hey, boy! There he is, Mr. Paladin. About as wild as any animal that I've ever seen.
Poor little thing.
Well, what do you think?
Well, about 8 years old, I should think.
Be about right.
He could be white. But some of that grime were scraped off him. It's hard to say.
Hard to scrape it off, too.
Well, what's he say?
I haven't talked to him yet, Mr. Beecher.
Well, talk to him. I'm paying you.
Kono la te shi. Shishoni, shoni kiburi, kiman.
Siwa, kalate shishoni kio, tegate.
His name is Chiwa. His father is Kalate, chief of the Pawnees.
You listen to me, boy. I'm your daddy. I'd sell my own soul. I'd give it away before I'd lose you again.
He don't understand you, Mr. Beecher.
Well, he's got to feel something this strong, lingo or no lingo. Now, boy, you listen to me. What's the matter with him?
He's afraid of you.
Miss Beecher! Mr. Beecher!
What do you want?
It's Indians, Mr. Beecher.
Indians.
Pawnees.
Well, what about them?
Well, they're setting up camp.
Where?
They're over on the East Range.
So they finally come for the boy. All right, Tater.
Yes, sir.
Turn the men out. Make sure they all have rifles.
Yes, sir.
Now, wait a minute.
What?
Before you start shooting, why don't you find out for sure if this really is your boy?
I told you before, I know he's my boy.
You want to believe that, but you aren't sure.
All right, Paladin, say it out. What are you asking for?
Time to talk with those Pawnees.
Well, you go talk then, but I'll tell you one thing for sure. No matter what lies they give you, that boy's mine. And if they try to come after him, there'll be the bloodiest massacre you ever seen.
To the Pawnee camp, knowing I had little time and less chance to stop a needless killing. There were squaws, braves, sitting, wandering. There were a hungry people and a lost people. At a tattered teepee, I found Kalete, chief of the Pawnees.
Kalete was once man who greeted white man like brother. Now he wanders, hungry, forgotten like the gray wolf.
I'm sorry. I wondered why Kalate was on this trail.
White man steal children.
Kalate will agree. A man may claim his own son.
Chiwa, my son.
Is he white?
Chiwa, my son.
I ask again, is he white?
Skin is leather bag God made to hold the soul. Color of bag, no matter. He was traded from the Sioux. Our blood has mixed.
But his is white.
He is my son. I take him back.
Kalate, if you take the boy, there'll be killing. This white man has many rifles.
Can rifles kill what has been killed already? Look at my camp. When there is no game, my people starve. We are driven from land and winter is here. But we move no more. We stay here. Soon we take my son.
Hello, Marty.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
Wow, what's going on inside there?
Oh, everyone's shining up clean. We're going to celebrate Christmas, Mr. Beecher, too.
Mr. Beecher?
Well, I know you won't believe it, but Tater did the trick. Says to Mr. Beecher, maybe the boy will remember Christmas. Ain't that a good one? Indian boy bringing us Christmas, first time since Mr. Beecher lost his wife. Oh, got to find some more mess heat for decorating. We're going to have singing and eating and everything.
Sounds fine, Morty.
Well, Paladin, you see the chief?
I talked to him.
What did he say?
He's your son.
I told you he was. You tell them Injuns to get their squaws and their tents off my property?
No.
Why not? You want them all killed?
I want you to understand that Chief Kalate feels that the boy is his son, too, and he feels it very strongly. If you talk to him, I'd be glad to act as interpreter.
The only way I'll talk to him and his flea-bitten braves is with rifle fire.
Listen, Beecher. Chief Kalate is the only father the boy has ever known. You kill him. How are you going to explain that to the boy?
You speak Pawnee. You can explain it.
You're wrong, Mr. Beecher.
Yeah?
I couldn't explain that in any language.
Tater, I said rations, not all these fancy vittles.
Well, it's Christmas, Mr. Beecher.
Now, look. Listen to me, all of you. Listen. If one calf wanders off tonight, we work double tomorrow, even if it is Christmas Day.
All right, boys.
A cider sitting over there just awaiting. It can't get no stouter, so get to it.
Marty, what is it?
The boy's gone.
Gone?
They come and took him.
Why, was it the Pawnees took him?
Yes, sir.
You knew about this, Paladin.
I thought they'd try, but not so soon.
Get your rifles.
Now, just wait a minute. You're always reaching for a rifle. There's no need for rifles. No hurry. The Pawnees aren't going anywhere. They're tired of running.
Preaching from a gunslinger. You just been aching to speak a piece. Well, speak it, Paladin. Talk don't mean nothing. Say anything you want. I'll still have the last say.
Well, I'm far from being a preacher. But I do know something about killing. Now, these Indians, rightly or wrongly, believe the boy is theirs. A few people love children like the Pawnees. Now, the chief Kalate might have given up the boy. He knows a wealthy rancher could give the boy more than a starving Indian could, and they're starving. Properly treated, he still might give up the boy. On the other hand, these Pawnees can't run anymore. They're tired. But they would rather die here tonight than give up the child to force. It won't be hard to massacre them. They have no guns. All you have to do is stay out of arrow range. And those you only wound, well, someone will have to press a muzzle against their heads and pull a trigger. Now, this is no Christmas message. I haven't even suggested that to a starving man, food may carry more weight than rifles. As Mr. Beecher can tell you, sentiments like peace, like goodwill, and love, and brotherhood, they're just words. Unless you already know what they mean. And if you don't, even if this were a chapel and I were a preacher, such words would do no good.
Well, I ain't got much to say. We're going out to kill some Injuns. One Injun in particular. Anybody that wants can stay here and draw his time, if you think you can find another job. And those who ain't going with me, speak up. Right now. Yeah. That's the story since the beginning, Mr. Paladin. The belly always wins out.
My dear Watson, with all due respect to Sherlock Holmes, let us establish one fact clearly. There is nothing elementary about the shrewd deductions Eric Severide makes as he analyzes world affairs on CBS Radio. As chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, Mr. Severide has open to him almost every possible source of information. Experience has sharpened his perspective and given him an extraordinary working knowledge of the forces that make history. It's taught him to view each new development in terms of cause and effect. Each Monday through Friday night, as you join Eric Severide on most of these same stations, you'll find his news analysis remarkably free of snap judgments and predetermined conclusions. You'll discover, too, that his carefully considered appraisals of the news not only contain real clues as to what is going on in the world, but also they make the news as exciting as any Arthur Conan Doyle story.
As Beecher's men spilled out of the doorway of the main house to change clothes and get their rifles, I slipped out the back way and, taking the first horse I saw, headed for the Indian camp. Somehow, I had to keep Matt Beecher from starting a bloodbath he might not be able to stop. Even as Kalati and I talked, I knew there were horses moving in the darkness beyond the Indians' fires. Beecher's horses.
You are a wise man, my son, but we stay.
A man without a gun still might run.
No place to run. I have forgotten how to kill, but not how to die.
But what good does this do the boy?
Could he take another father after this?
We got the camp surrounded. You want to explain that to the chief, Paladin?
He knows it.
You going to stand with them instead of with your own people? I asked you a question.
I heard you.
Hold your fire, boys. That's Morty.
Women, what are they doing here?
Mr. Paladin!
Over here, Morty.
We got food.
clothes and things for them Indians. There's 15 or 20 of us. Is it all right to come in there?
It's the most all right thing in the world, Morty. Come on.
All right, lady. Get your basket and get us.
What is?
Call your squaws, chief. Call your children. Call the boy. They're bringing food and gifts for your people.
Shiva, Hulange, Hunemo.
Well, they don't look very friendly, Mr. Paladin.
I guess you don't look very friendly to them.
What do we say?
Oh, I'd suggest you try Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas?
To Christmas, Merry.
Morty, this is Kalate. He's the chief of the Pawnee.
How do you do?
Oh.
I only got one pair of hands. Here, you take this basket.
Hold on there, Morty. I'm with you.
Hello, Tater.
Hello, Mr. Paladin.
I come in too, Mr. Paladin.
Well, Pete.
Now, what Beecher's doing is wrong, and I don't care if I do get fired.
Well, look, Mr. Paladin, all the men are coming in.
Why, Morty, you ain't rightly dressed for riding.
Well, ladies, that was the time to change, but you sure don't have to.
Oh, what the matter?
Well, Chief, there'll be no bloodletting tonight.
Christmas.
That's right. They call it Christmas. It's a time of the year when people pretend there is no evil in the world.
Yeah, I like.
Everybody likes. What about the boy, Chief? His name is Robbie Beecher. His skin is white. Chief?
My boy.
His boy, Chief. You can return the seed to the plant that bore it. He can't take it, nor can I, nor can anyone.
I talk to boy.
I'll talk to his father.
Hold it, Paladin. Right there.
He'll give you the boy, Beecher.
What?
You can take him home tonight. The chief is talking to him now, telling him that you're his father.
I'll kill you, Paladin, if this is some kind of way of getting back at me. When do I get my boy?
I haven't been paid yet. $1,000 cash.
Well, I haven't got it with me.
Well, when can you have it?
Tomorrow.
Then give it to the chief so he can buy some land for himself and his people.
I'll do better than that. I'll give him some land. I feel like I should give something.
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, it is.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Beecher.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Paladin.
Good afternoon, hey boy.
When you come back?
Last night, late. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, no. Wait, not her. You met her once, remember?
I remember. She's always dropping her glove.
Oh, too bad. I eat trouble.
I beg your pardon. You dropped your glove.
Oh, so I did.
May I pick it up?
You may.
Thank you. Allow me to introduce myself?
Well, please do.
My name is Paladin.
My name is Eugenie Meyer, Mr. Paladin.
Oh. There's a princess named Eugenie.
I'd rather hear about that glove that holds a lady's hand.
Holds a world of prettiness?
Yes. I like that beginning better. Is there more?
Oh, there's a great deal more, I assure you. But one question... Why the change of heart?
Well, it's more a change of mind. The change of heart can come later.
But why? You were very confident in your rejection the last time we met.
Well, you were very confident of yourself, Mr. Paladin. Christmas seems to have humbled you and me.
Then we're both very fortunate. Now we can meet.
Yes.
Have gun, will travel. created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Gene Roddenberry and adapted for radio by John Dawson. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Jess Kirkpatrick, Roy Woods, Richard Beals, Ann Morrison, and Virginia Christine. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
The Relic Radio Show for today. I'll be back next Tuesday with another 60 minutes of fine golden age entertainment. In the meantime, relicradio.com has all the shows listed there, past episodes from this one, all the others, links to the forum, shoutcast stream, everything Relic Radio is at relicradio.com. You'll also find a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's greatly appreciated. Email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Follow this and all the shows on Twitter, twitter.com/relicradio. I also have a new Facebook page, which you can find a link to on the website, and a newsletter, which you can sign up for there as well. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.